Good timing. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to start with some prayer concerns and thanksgivings. So if you could please pray for Pam Lambert and her family. Her nephew, Christopher Watson, passed this past week. He was killed in a motorcycle crash in Flint. So please keep their family in your prayers as they're mourning that loss. And then a joy that we can end the prayer concerns and Thanksgiving. Sharon Carmen is cancer clear, and she's now at the point of 3-month checkups. And some announcements this morning. Softball playoffs are tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Door Field. Be there and be ready to be rowdy. And some other announcements for this week. After worship, fellowship has resumed, which is good. Everyone can stay and chit-chat and have some good snacks. Red Butterflies have resumed their meetings. Their next meeting is August 2nd. That's tomorrow at 11:30. The United Methodist Women will meet on Thursday, August 5th. That's this coming Thursday at 9:30 in Wesley Hall. Some upcoming food pantries, the next one being this coming Thursday, August 4th, is at 1 p.m. in Croswell at Valiant Ministries. The garage sale was a huge success last week, so thank you to everyone who helped out with that and donated to that. The supply cupboard is starting to get thin. They're in need of cleaning supplies, paper towels, disinfectant wipes, and toilet paper. If you can bring them to the office or drop them off in the basket in the narthex. And then, of course, please keep Pastor Sue in your prayers as she continues to recover from where she was in Texas, and now she's thankfully home and recovering. So please keep her in your prayers. All right. For August birthdays, it is August 1st, so we start a new month of birthdays. Crystal Barbers is today, along with Rosemary Ellis. August 2nd is Dan Haynes. August 7th is George Ross. He's hiding in the back. And then August 8th is Tate Larson, so let's wish them happy birthday. If you didn't shout out your birthday, happy birthday to you too. And then for anniversaries this week, we have Dale and Crystal Barber on August 4th, and then Mike and Sarah Ridley August 7th. Is there anyone else celebrating this week? All right, let's sing for them. Bit more time, so I was told to ad lib. So it's a beautiful morning, nice sunny day to kick off August. Any other announcements or prayers and joys that weren't mentioned previously? All right, let's wait for my cue.
I have a
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Five minutes? Cool. Okay. All right. All right, we'll do a praise song. If you please stand for number 171, There's Something About. one. Number 347, Spirit Song. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Mr. Ivan Henderson will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Lasecki, worship leader for this morning. If you could please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. If you could please stand for the call to worship. We will be saying this in unison. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Please join in singing hymn 154. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Now, will the children all come forward? There is. Yeah, we got some children. And Amy's going to do a message for the kids this morning.
Okay, we do have some children, but they're a little bit shy, so that's fine. They can stay in their seats. My message this morning is dependability, okay? All of us have things that we like to do, and I know with kids, probably baseball or playing your Xbox, riding your bike, seeing friends, reading, and who knows, some of you, maybe school. Just maybe, right? But after this last year where, you know, we had to do a lot of things at home, I'm sure that we're all thankful, children included, to get back to school, to be able to go see a friend, to go see a movie, to go to the Dairy Queen, you know, whatever. Just go for a walk. Maybe visit relatives. That's all fun. Me, I like to crochet. Okay? I don't think that's any secret, but that is something I really love to do. And when I'm busy and just working away, you know, you're not paying too much attention. Well, I happen to be working away, and all of a sudden, this is what happened. I reached in my bag, and I had no more thread, no more yarn here. Just an empty spool. It's what I'm holding up here. Very disappointed because it was late at night. Can't just, you know, run to the store and get another one. I was expecting this in my bag, a nice full roll so I could continue my work. Instead, it was empty. So, had to put that away and find something else to do. Any of you children, have you ever been disappointed with anything? You know? Yeah? Yeah? I see some heads shaking. Okay, like, I don't know, a disappointment might be you're looking forward to something at school, like maybe Halloween, Valentine's Day, how about Christmas, activities like that, and all of a sudden it snows, and school is closed, and you can't go that day, you know? Or you're expecting to go somewhere, maybe the car has a flat tire, you know, and you're delayed. Well, there's one point in your life that you will never, ever, ever be disappointed, and that is with Jesus. He is there 24/7 for all of us. All we have to do is just say, Jesus, I need you. I have this problem. I have this concern. He's there for us, and he's given us many, many people to help us. Parents, for one. Grandparents is another one. Aunts, uncles. Your teacher at school. The playground aid. How about here at church? There's all of us. There's our pastor. There's all the adults here. Friends. Numerous people we can turn to. And that is good. We're all human. Humans have one flaw. We can make a mistake. But Jesus is the one constant in your life that you can turn to. And he gives us a Bible. I'm looking at my husband's Bible here, and he's got a nice sticker on here. It looks like Snoopy, and the acronym is D-O-G. Yes, that spells dog, but it also stands for depend on God, because he will never fail you. Thank you.
Well, you got someone excited about the children's message. All right, the Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 32, verses 6 through 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in the guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now we'll have Kathy Williams for some special music.
Thank you, Kathy. That was very nice. Join me in a pastoral prayer. Lord, we come here today in fellowship with one another, setting aside this time solely for you, to offer you praise and worship, to hear you speak to us, and to leave here shaped a little bit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we come humbly and quietly before you. Oh God, we thank you for those times this week when we smiled and laughed, those times of friendship enjoyed, of meals shared, those times when we appreciated the beauty of nature, when we felt a peace in our hearts, when we paused to be grateful for the life you have given us. For all of these and so much more, we know that we are blessed. For our days are difficulty and struggle, for the times when we have been less than our best, we give you thanks that you do not turn away from us, and that you are never alone, that we are never alone. And God, tell us that when we confess our sins, you are gracious and just to forgive us and help us to start anew. Lord, we lift to you our church. We want our church to be strong and a vital church in our community. We want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. The need for hope, acceptance, love, and compassion is great, and you are the answer to these needs. Help us to show others the way to you through our programs, through our ministries, and most of all, through our lives and example. We lift to you our country and its leaders, and we pray now for change. We pray that egos and power plays will be set aside, and that wisdom, vision, and collaboration will prevail. You are solely needed. Lord, for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just in need of your presence, we ask that you would touch them with your healing, with your guidance, with your peace. You have those in our prayer list, but hear us now as people in the congregation remember the names of those for whom we ask for blessings. Lord, for the confidence and joy and hope we have because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks and praise in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning to you all out there. I haven't been up here for a while, and I got to admit I'm a bit nervous this morning. But we'll get through it. My message this morning is titled, Christian Love and Respect. Jesus' simple command requires greater strength than any of us naturally possess. It requires the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are to love one another. Sounds good, but can we do it? Whoever said, "I love mankind, it's people I can't stand," was about right. People are just irritating. I agree with the guy who said, "To live above with those we love, oh, how that will be glory. To live below with those we know, now that's another story." Even people at church can be difficult to love. Sometimes we sing a chorus in church, "I'm so glad you're part of the family of God." And then we look at the person beside us and sing, "I'm surprised that you are part of the family of God." Sometimes it's hard enough to love our own family. One guy told his wife, if she had really loved him, she would have married someone else. How do we make love a dominating characteristic of our lives? First, we got to make love a priority. Indeed, loving people is difficult. Yet, this is what the Bible commands. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We see that in 1 John 3:11. We spend time on what we deem important. For many of us, those choices are valid. Time with family and friends, work, prayer, serving the poor, fighting for rights, protesting wrongs. But as the scripture reminds us, "And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gained nothing." That's 1 Corinthians 13:3. Even though we have the freedom to set our own priorities, Jesus made it a point of defining certain ones of them to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Love, then, is not a gray area in the scriptures. Jesus gives love a priority over all Christian virtues. Every thought and act of goodwill must first pass through the fine filter of love, or it means nothing at all. In Strength to Love, Martin Luther King encouraged us to realize our responsibility as Christians is to discover the meaning of this commandment and seek passionately to live it out in our daily lives. But why love? What makes it so important? When Jesus spoke to the disciples regarding the first and second greatest commandments, he explained that all the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. We find that in Matthew 20-40. You must understand the importance of love. To the people of Israel, as well as for many believers today, it would seem more logical for obedience to be the peg from which the law hangs, since the point of writing a law is inherence to it. And it is written, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We find that in John 14, 15. Yet Jesus also said, "I give you a new commandment, to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. You'll find that in John 13:34. The Apostle Paul goes on to tell us, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10. This may sound irrelevant to our generation that depends on police departments, guns, and force to uphold and fill the law. Yet Jesus' simple command requires greater strength than any of us naturally possess, more power than any man-made weapon. The logic of Paul's interpretation of Jesus' command that love fulfills the law seems equally simple. For if one loves his neighbor, he will not commit adultery with his neighbor's spouse. If he loves his co-worker, he will not lie to him. If he loves his enemy, he will not surrender or he will not slander him. Love fulfills the law, because if we truly love every person because he is a person, we will not desire to hurt or violate him or her, thus never break the law. God established love as the impetus for obedience. We must embody the distinguishing nature of love. When we demonstrate Christ's love, it distinguishes believers from the rest of the world. Jesus goes on to say, by this love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's found in John 13:35. Notice, Jesus did not say that people will know that you are my disciples if you promote my agenda, or wear Christian t-shirts, or a WWJD bracelet, or have a fish decal on your car, but rather if you love one another. A watching world will be persuaded not when our values are promoted, but when they are incarnated, when we become purveyors of love. It is as though Jesus has given the entire world the right to judge whether or not one is his follower, simply on the basis of their love for fellow human beings. The vivacious virtue of love distinguishes the Christian. From the very beginning, God's plan was to develop a people that reflected his character. And what is his character? Love. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is in this world. 1 John 4:16, 17. Believers are God's advertisement to a watching society as to how individuals could best live in that society. In fact, Christian love will always be the best apologetic that the church has. When Ira Gillette, a missionary to East Africa, returned home to report his activities overseas, he related an interesting phenomenon. Repeatedly, Gillette had noticed how groups of Africans would walk past the government hospitals and travel many extra miles to receive medical treatment at the missionary compound. He finally asked a particular group why they walked the extra distance when the same treatment was available at the government clinic. The reply, the medicines may be the same, but the hands are different. That's the virtue of love incarnated. That kind of love makes a difference. Christ has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. We are his ambassadors, representing him to the world. And when we love as he has loved us, it will make the difference. People will notice. Christian love is indispensable. We must demonstrate the virtues of love. How do we demonstrate the distinctiveness of Christian love? Because virtue is a moral action that we practice. How can we practice the glorious virtue of love? We must remember that love values the other person. Let's not confuse Christian love with its modern counterfeits: lust, sentimentality, gratification. While love is a wonderful, warm feeling, it is not only a feeling. In fact, according to the Bible, love is primarily an active interest in the well-being of another person. Love acts for the benefit of others. According to William Barclay, love is the spirit in the heart that will never seek anything but the highest good of its fellow man. God loves us not because we had something to offer him, but rather he had something to offer us. For God loved the world in this way: he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone that believed in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We all know that one, John 3:16. God loved us so that he can demonstrate his mercy to us in the person of his Son. Dr. W.A. Criswell, a former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, officiated at a lot of weddings. The nervous groom would always say, "Dr. Criswell, how much do I owe you for this?" And he'd always smile and look at the groom and say, "Just pay me what she's worth." Dr. Criswell made a lot of money from weddings because to each man, his new bride was of extravagant value. In like manner, everyone around us is of incredible value to God as a potential object of his mercy. His one and only Son died in their place. Because people matter so much to him, they ought to matter to us. And we therefore need to love them as he loves them. Love is vulnerable to the other. In other words, Love opens up its life to another person. It goes beyond sentimental feeling. It breaks down barriers. It exposes the heart. Think about Jesus. He left the glory of heaven to come to earth. He veiled his divinity and took on humanity. And what did it get him? He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. We find that in John 1:11. Can you imagine being away on a trip for a week, coming home and your family not recognizing you? That's similar to what Jesus experienced when he came to earth. Surely that must have hurt. Then as Jesus hung on the cross, dying for those people that he loved, they hurled abuses, scorn, and ridicule. His heart was broken, and yet he forgave them. Christian love is the most costly investment you will ever make. C.S. Lawrence, in Four Loves, described the vulnerable nature of love. To love is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around the hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. Instead, it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. Love also entails a cost. It gets its hands dirty. It takes a chance. It goes out on a limb. It takes a gamble. Love makes a statement and leaves a legacy. It does the unexpected, surprising, and stirring. It performs acts that steal the heart and leaves an impression on the soul. Often these acts are never forgotten. I recently read a moving story about the founder of World Vision, the International Christian Relief Agency. Bob Pierce had advanced leukemia, but he chose to visit a colleague in Indonesia before he died. As he and others walked toward together through a small village, they came upon a young girl lying on a bamboo mat next to a river. She was dying of cancer and had only a short time to live. Bob was indignant. He demanded to know why she wasn't in the clinic, but his friend explained that she was from the jungle and wished to spend her last days next to the river, where it was cool and familiar. As Bob gazed at her, he felt such compassion that he got down on his knees in the mud, took her hand, and began stroking it. Although she didn't understand him, he prayed for her. Afterwards, she looked up and said something. "What did she say?" Bob asked his friend. His friend replied, "She said, 'If I could only sleep, if I could only sleep again.'" It seemed that her pain was too great to allow her the relief of rest. Bob began to weep. Then he reached into his pocket and took out his sleeping pills, the ones his doctor had given him, because the pain from his leukemia was too great for him to sleep at night. He handed a bottle to his friend. "You make sure this young lady gets a good night's sleep," he said. "As long as these pills last."
Bob was 10 days away from where he could get his prescription refilled. That meant 10 painful and restless nights. That day, his love cost him greatly. But even in the midst of his suffering, God infused him with a supernatural sense of satisfaction that he had done the right thing. I'm not saying that we should constantly abuse ourselves or become passive doormats. But Christian love inevitably carries cost. Even when the cost is high, we can nevertheless count on God to bring fulfillment to his followers. True love always costs. If there is no cost, there is no love. In the end, the goal of Christian life is love. The measure of our maturity is our love for God and our love for others. If we fail in our love, we have missed what it means to be a Christian. But there is hope for the one who failed in love. At the beginning, I asked the question, can we do it? Can we love others in this way? The answer, I'm afraid, is no. We cannot love others like Christ without Christ. The Lord, who gave even those that crucified him, stands ready to forgive you of your lack of love. He wants to show his mercy toward you today, to cleanse our loveless hearts and fill them with his loving Holy Spirit. Receive his mercy. Place your trust in Christ and let him teach you how to love as he has loved you. Will the ushers please come forward?
Stand in the morning. Who told the ocean you can only come this far? Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Things in orbit. He runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken.
Please receive these gifts and tithes that we give to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that this be used to further your teachings and to bring people to you, Lord, that they might be able to live their lives according to your teachings. And we bless the households for which these blessings came from, Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is 131, Jesus Loves Me. Send us forth, O God, with every breath a thanksgiving, every thought wrapped in compassion, every word filled with kindness, and every deed a channel of love. Through your grace, may our lives become a prayer. Amen.
Shall bow